Hey everyone, and welcome to True Crime Talkers San Diego, a podcast created by and for San Diegans. I'm your host, Jamie, and this is episode number 8. I am so excited because we have almost reached 10 episodes. Now, when I originally started the show, I told myself that I would do at least 10 consecutive episodes with very little expectations. I just wanted to, you know, be creative and produce content and just see where that would go. But you guys have blown all expectations. This little podcast has gone farther than I honestly ever expected it would in the short amount of time that I've been doing this. It's so exciting to see that our little community is growing, and I especially love to see that we actually have a few listeners outside of the US as well. I know this podcast is a bit of a niche podcast since it's centered around San Diego, but it's so cool that other people who are not just in the city are interested in it as well. As I've said before, this show is for San Diego natives, but it's also for people who once lived in San Diego or people who are just interested in the world-famous San Diego City. All true crime enthusiasts are definitely welcome here. So thank you so much to all of you out there who have taken time out of your day to listen to my show. It literally means the world to me, honestly. Thank you. I've gotten some great feedback so far, as well as some funny feedback. I was actually told multiple times by different people that my voice is soothing and that they've fallen asleep before they could finish an episode. Which, at first, I was worried it was because, you know, I was being boring, or the content was boring, or something like that. But thankfully, I've just been told my voice is soothing, and the music that I add is, you know, calm, usually, and so I could see how people might fall asleep to it. I guess it is a little relaxing. It's like that one TikTok where people would go to sleep listening to true crime shows, and it would be like, their nose was cut off, her cheek was cut off, her ear was cut off, her face was cut off. And then their spouse is sitting there like, so confused how anyone could find that calming enough to fall asleep to and not get nightmares. But, I mean, not gonna lie, I think I've definitely fallen asleep to a few true crime shows. But anyways, I just wanted to take this time to say thank you for listening because it truly means so much to me, and I'm just so excited to keep producing episodes and continuing on this journey with all of you. All right, enough mushy-gushy stuff. We got a show to put on, right? So, this episode is going to be a little bit different than normal. You know, there is just so much crime that occurs in major cities like this one, and I often find that I fall behind on covering current local crimes. So, to remedy this, I'm thinking every so often I'll do an episode similar to what I did in episode 1, where there's not really, like, a main case per se, but more of a collection of small cases or interesting developments in the true crime realm. Basically, I just figured it'd be fun to have an episode full of short local cases, so that way we can bring them to attention and talk about what's going on in San Diego today. Now, a listener has requested that I cover several stories that have occurred these last few weeks. So, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Ask and you shall receive, folks. But in all seriousness, thank you for your suggestions. So, I've titled this episode, Bodies of Water, because these past few weeks there have been several bodies found floating dead in various bodies of water around San Diego. I immediately found this to be very interesting, and I'm sure so did the viewer who suggested that we talk about all this. It's definitely very spooky stuff. Almost makes me wonder if we have a serial killer doing this. I mean, I don't think so, but then again, you never know. But before we talk about all of the water crimes, I'd like to jump into a drier crime, which is today's intro topic. On February 13th, 2021, the police got a call from Australian authorities. They said that a person had reached out to them after receiving a worrisome message from a family member living in Carlsbad. The message conveyed that the man living in Carlsbad had killed his girlfriend and was intent on committing suicide. The San Diego police go out to the home a bit after 6 p.m. and force their way into the apartment. Sadly, they break in to find the couple already dead. 33-year-old Hilton Williams is the alleged murder-suicide culprit, and his victim was 44-year-old Mary Knott. Mary was a daughter, sister, aunt, animal mom, and a veterinarian. She's described as being a very incredible human, which she really does seem to be. She was a true athlete. She motivated and inspired the people around her to never give up and to always chase their goals. And she obviously did this by setting the example herself, because Mary had competed in several Ironman competitions and Ultraman races. Now, if you don't know what those are, they are really difficult races. An Ironman competition consists of a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and a 26.2-mile marathon. Very intense and impressive feats for sure. I mean, that alone is impressive, but Mary had her sights set even higher. Can you believe that? In 2021, she had planned to compete in the California's Triple Crown of Marathon Swimming, which consists of a swim across Lake Tahoe, which is 21.3 miles, the Catalina Channel, which is 20.1 miles, and the Santa Barbara Channel, which is 12.4 miles. Now, only 19 people have accomplished this feat, and Mary was hoping to be added to that list. Her boyfriend, William, was also a runner and an athlete, but, I mean, Mary definitely takes the cake on athleticism. It's just so sad that she won't be able to go after those goals that she had aspirations for. It would have been really cool to see her complete the Triple Crown. Unfortunately, the police have not released any further information on this case due to it being an ongoing investigation. I just wonder why William would snap and murder her, and, you know, how it all went down. Hopefully we'll find out soon, but in the meantime, my heart does go out to both victims' families. I can't imagine how hard it must be to have someone go out in such an unpredictable and sudden way. Do you guys remember a couple episodes back when I talked about a man found dead in RV Parks Lake? If not, I'll just give a brief summary. So, on January 27th, 2021, Steve Turay, a 55-year-old man, was reported missing. He was staying at the All Seasons RV Park off Old Highway 395, and he was last reported seen on the 26th around 11 p.m. walking away from the RV park. During the police's search efforts, a tracking dog zeroed in on an area of the RV park's lake where divers sadly find Teray's body. It's unclear if there was any foul play or what exactly happened. I looked into his death to see if, you know, anything had come up since it's been a couple weeks, but sadly I couldn't find anything, so it's still a mystery. Unfortunately, his death did seem to kick off, in a way, a string of other victims being found in similar ways. On February 7th, police received a call reporting a body floating in the waters of Lake Murray. The victim was later identified as 44-year-old Elena Lazowski. Elena was a La Mesa resident and worked as a moulage technician. I'm somewhat familiar with what moulage is since I've done a little work in it myself. It's basically the use of SFX makeup for the purpose of training response teams, whether that be police, firemen, military, etc. So she had a 6-year contract doing this work with the military, which had recently expired. Now, how and when Elena died remains under investigation. So again, we have another mysterious body found. But just wait, because 3 days later, another floating body is found, this time in the San Diego Bay. Police say that they were called just after 5 p.m. on February 10th about a body floating in the water at the Embarcadero. A dive team was called in to retrieve the body of a white, middle-aged male. The medical examiner's office then took the body to determine the cause of death and to identify who the victim is. Thankfully, the body is not in terrible condition, and the police believe that due to the nice weather conditions of that day, that the body was not in the water for very long before being found. Reports say that there are no obvious signs of trauma, and the police have yet to identify the man. It's pretty wild that three bodies would be found in similar ways, all within days of each other. None of them seem to have any significant trauma, so it's really hard to say what happened and if they were necessarily murdered. But did they all just accidentally drown? I don't know. It is a coincidence, but I don't know. It's something to contemplate for sure. I'd be curious to know what you guys think is going on. Now, while I was researching these cases, I actually came across an older one that is also similar, and it just really piqued my interest, so I'd love to share it with you guys. Back in 2017, a man was found in a barrel at the bottom of the bay. The victim was 28-year-old Omar Medina. This all started when Medina's family never heard from him after September 30th. They were obviously very worried and ended up filing a missing persons report with the Chula Vista Police Department. I feel like I'm always talking about the Chula Vista Police Department because saying the Chula Vista Police Department is very hard for me. It's like a tongue twister. I mean, seriously, try saying that like three times fast. It's hard. But anyways, back to the story here. So the police find his unlocked car about a week later, which was containing numerous belongings, including his computer, his guitar, all sorts of stuff. And his car was found not too far from his home that he shared with his roommate, Timothy Cook. Now, the story goes that Timothy disliked Omar's drinking habit and was frustrated with him because he was a sloppy roommate who never really tidied up. Omar had recently come into a decent sum of money due to a legal settlement. And in court, Deputy District Attorney Sherry Somerville explains that Timothy then had a motive to get rid of his sloppy roommate and claim that money for himself. It's unclear as to what happened, but sadly, whatever does happen ends up with Omar being stabbed 66 times on September 30th, 2017. Now, if that is not an indication that this was a crime of rage and passion, I don't know what is. However, Timothy Cook has a different version of the story. He claims that he didn't kill Omar, but rather he came home to find him already dead. He freaks out and panicked and decided that the best thing to do was not to report the body, but instead to hide it out of fear of being blamed for being the murderer. I mean, I don't think that's the best idea. If you did not murder someone, you should definitely report that someone got murdered, because if you're hiding a body when you're innocent, that just, it's just not a good look, man. I mean, it just makes you look like you killed them. So I don't know what he was thinking. Obviously he wasn't, and I think this is just a BS story. So, but yeah, I don't know. Like, I just don't understand why he thought people would be like, oh yeah, you panicked? Oh, and then you hit the oh yeah, oh, that makes sense. Like, what? Anyways, it keeps getting worse. So, from October 1st through the 7th, Timothy Cook tells his brother that he is going out of town and that he's going to be in Northern California. However, he never leaves San Diego. Instead, he and his buddy spend that week cleaning up the crime scene. And they do this by tearing out portions of the room where the killing had occurred. Another thing, side note here. If you were innocent, not only is it a bad look to hide the body, but then to like completely tamper and destroy the crime scene? Like, if you were innocent, That is cold-hearted because you are destroying any evidence of finding whoever did do this, you know? Like, so that's just crazy. Also, his friend is, I guess a good friend, because I would never help my friend clean up a murder. Like, no. Even if they were innocent and just found the body, no. I'm sorry, that would be reported. I'm not getting my DNA and my evidence, and I'm not gonna be involved in ruining the crime scene, so. But back to the story. Timothy and his friend Derek Spurgeon then get into Derek's boat, and they dump a 55-gallon drum containing Omar Medina's body into the San Diego Bay. Weeks later, a diver spots a suspicious plastic barrel with a hazard tag being tied down with cement blocks and reports it to authorities. Now, see how this diver was not worried that he would be blamed for the murder because he reported this? See? Timothy, do you see? This is what you do. Okay, sorry. When the police pull up this barrel, they open it and they find Medina's body, which was so badly decomposed that it took the medical examiner's office 6 weeks to identify him. 6 weeks, that's crazy. And according to the autopsy report, Omar was only able to be identified through his fingerprints and a tattoo of a five-pointed star on his left ankle. Both Timothy and Derek are later arrested. Derek Spurgeon pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor count of unlawfully disposing of a dead body and was tried as an accessory to a murder charge. In addition to the 6 months jail sentence that he gets, Spurgeon is headed to state prison for more than a decade in connection with 2 unrelated robbery and drug-related cases. So all 3 terms will be served consecutively, totaling nearly 11 years in custody. Timothy Cook was convicted by a San Diego jury of second-degree murder and sentenced to 56 years to life in prison. What a heinous act it is to kill your roommate and stuff them in a barrel like that. I just don't understand how someone could live with themselves after doing something like that. Ugh. Thankfully, Timothy is going to have a very long time to think about this crime in prison. I just can't imagine how hard this must have been for Omar's family. Thankfully, justice is being served, but what is really beautiful in this case is that Omar's sister and mother have said to Timothy that they forgive him for what he did. His sister went on in court to say that that is a choice she makes every single day. I mean, that just really says a lot. The Medina family are just such great people. I mean, to forgive the killer of your family member, like, that's huge. And I'm really happy for them because now they can move on and not have this hatred in their heart that affects their lives, you know? I doubt Omar or anyone that's passed would want to see their family members go on with this, like, grudge, you know? So that's really great, and my heart goes out to his family. And my heart goes out to all of the victims' families that we talked about today. I mean, these are just really weird cases of people just dying and being found in water. Like, I don't know, that's just crazy. I can't imagine what that would be like to know that your family member was drowned, or I don't know, it's a mystery. Well, that's all I have for this week's episode. Those were some crazy stories. Do you guys think all of these bodies being found in water are a strange coincidence? Or do you think there's more to it? Let me know what your thoughts are on these cases. You can leave me a voice message on Anchor or reach out through any of the links that I have provided in the show notes. Also, let me know if these types of episodes are something that you guys would like to hear more of. Do you like the idea of me doing a collection of short cases once in a while? Or do you prefer the longer and more established stories? Hit me up and let me know. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, stay safe.